All the scientists are running around looking for the monkey, but he can't be found, 'cause he's down by the pond playing hockey with the kids.
Welcome back to the program. Joining us on the Bellman Automotive phone line is the Blues beat writer for STLSportsPage.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Nick_Hand. Aloha, Mr. Hand. How are you?
Good evening, guys. Are you staying cool in the studio tonight?
Yeah, it's like a meat locker in here, and I love it. It can't get cold enough in a studio for me. I love it when a studio is cold. So if it's hot, then you're miserable and you can't concentrate. If it's cold, you're awake, you're alert.
So what you're telling me is Team Jansen's loving it when he's in the studio lately.
Well, I mean, Team Jansen, he sweats no matter what. I've never seen a single human being sweat more than Cam Jansen in my entire life. I mean, he sweats like a hooker in a church. I mean, it is really bad. It's unbelievable. But you know who's not sweating right now are the St. Louis Blues as they sign Colton Parayko to a 5-year, $27 million deal. I don't know about you, Nick, but I think that this is the right amount of years, the right amount of money, and the right player. I couldn't be happier about this.
It really is the perfect fit for both the player and the team. And, you know, you've seen some people argue, why didn't the Blues go 7 or 8 years? Well, you know, offensively, Parayko still has more to show. And if you're talking in terms of Parayko, who knows what the salary cap is going to be 5 or 6 years from now? And why would you do a deal that buys out 2 additional years of unrestricted free agency when, you know, it's hard to project. We can't even project what the salary cap is going to be in 1 or 2 seasons, depending on what's going to happen. You can't depend what it is in 6 years. It could be that the NHL defenseman who's a top-pairing guy is looking at $10 million 6 or 7 years from now. And then that $5.5 million doesn't look so good, and all you have to do is point back to Duncan Keith with the Chicago Blackhawks, and that's the situation he's in. So really a great term, a good dollar figure for both sides, and that's the type of move that locking a player into that contract gives you flexibility in the future.
And by the end of the 5 years, he should be entering his athletic prime, and if he's still playing well, then you know, maybe by the time before that 5th year ends, you start talking about an extension and sign him one then. And if he's not, then you're going to be like, okay, maybe we can find someone to replace him. I just mean, if you do 7 or 8 years, then what happens if he morphs into somebody like Laterra or Bomeister? Then everybody's going to be going, well, why did they give Colton Parayko a 8-year deal when he still hasn't proven himself?
Exactly. And especially if the offense doesn't materialize. And personally, I don't think that's going to happen, but you can't give a contract based on projections. You have to do it on what they've given you and a pattern. And the fact that Parayko played 3 years of college and has only been in the pros for 2 seasons with the Blues now, you know, there's a little bit more of a variability there. And that's what lowers the AAV and lowers the term. But overall, when you look at the Blues, and I realize a lot of fans still don't like the Jay Bomeister contract, but that was a 5-year deal as well, and you got him in the good years, and he might have lost a step, but he's still very solid defensively. You have all three of your top defensemen in Bomeister, Petrangelo, and Parayko at under $7 million each, and that is not bad when you're looking at the future flexibility and what the Blues can do going forward.
Now, this contract does give them a little wiggle room under the salary cap, so maybe they can go out and add a veteran piece. What kind of veteran piece do you have in mind, and you know, what position? Do they go after another defenseman? Do they go after a center or a winger? What do you think they're going to do?
I personally feel like this team is set from the standpoint of, are they going to make a move?
So you don't think they sign anybody then?
I don't. I think what you're going to see from Armstrong is he's going to use that salary cap space, and that's going to provide a buffer for if anybody gets injured, and you already have Berglund who's under that scenario. But
yeah.
You want to keep Berglund off of long-term IR, the long-term injury reserve, and while you could place him on that and then get the additional salary cap space if needed, what that does is if you use the LTIR provision, it prevents you from being able to gather or gain any salary cap space during the season. So if you are on long-term IR, it takes away the ability to accrue the salary cap space. With how the Blues are set up right now, $2 to $3 million in salary cap space, depending on how many forwards they carry, that is something that can be prorated, and that's something that you can aggregate all the way to the trade deadline, and then you'd be looking at $9 to $10 million of salary cap space come the trade deadline, and we know how important that can be.
So if this team is indeed set as you believe it to be, and let's say Patrick Berglund, he bounces back from the injury. I don't know if he's going to be there in time for the start of the season, but let's say maybe he misses a month. How do you feel about this Blues team going into the 2017-2018 season? Do you feel like they are vastly improved than what they have last year, 2 years ago?
I do. I would say that the Blues have more depth now, and they've created more depth at forward. And we know Berglund's going to be out until December with the shoulder injury. So you have 2 months of auditioning time to have players grab a couple spots. And what's really going to be fascinating is going to be the battle for the center ice positions. And you know Stastny's going to be a top six center. You know he's going to be on one of the two lines. What you don't know is where everything else is shaken out. You have Braden Shin, who's available as a center. You have Robbie Fabbri, who the Blues coaching staff and general manager has now said they want to try out at center during training camp. You have Sundqvist, who is the player that was acquired in the Ryan Reeves trade. And then you have Ivan Barbashev, who showed what he could do last season. You still have Braziak as a fourth-line center as well. There was a lot of moving parts, and it's hard to really project the lines at this point right now because you need to know who's going to be playing down the middle and then figure out who's going to be on the wings.
So this Blues team, as constructed, do you think serious cup contender? Or are they, you know, hey, you know, solid playoff team that can make some noise? What is your assessment of them right now?
Go with the solid playoff team that can make some noise, and the big thing that the Blues need, and what's really going to put them over the top, and what really separates them from being a team that can make some noise in the postseason to being a team that you can look at as a legitimate contender, is just a little bit more offense up front, and the Blues are banking on that coming eternally. Is that Tage Thompson? Is that a guy who's going to be able to make the jump this season? Is that a Jordan Kyrou, who, you know, is young, has shown a lot of offensive potential in the juniors. Everybody now is looking at Klim Kostin as a guy. You know, he has all the skill set of what makes a legitimate power forward in the NHL. He's got excellent hands. He already skates at an NHL level, which is one of the biggest things that you usually see from an 18 or 19 year old is, do they have the skating ability to be in the NHL? He has it. What he doesn't have is any seasoning. He is as raw gets. So he's a guy that you're looking at, and he is AHL eligible because he's never played Canadian junior hockey. He is a guy that you're looking at who could be somebody who can make an impact, but more than likely that impact's going to come the midway point of the season or the second half. But, you know, the Blues needing one of those guys to hit and really developing and having another 20 to 25 goal scorer specifically on the right wing. They're pretty much set on left wing with when you're looking at a Schwartz, when you're looking at a Robbie Fabbri if he's not playing center, if you're looking at an Alex Steen, you know, you're set, Vladimir Sobotka. They're set on left wing. They have options with depth at center. The right wing's where you're looking to struggle. You have Tarasenko. And after that, it's open audition for second line, third line, and fourth line.
Just for clarification, you don't think they're going to spend that extra million or a couple million dollars they have under the cap, or you wouldn't if you were them?
I don't think they're going to. You know, I personally, and I know a lot of people are going to be saying, you know, Jaromir Jagr's out there and Shane Doan's out there, and that's true. But at their age, is it more beneficial to, you know, have a guy like that who's a diminishing asset and, more importantly, takes time away from your young developing forwards? The Blues, one of those guys, you just need one of those guys to hit. And if it's not Tage Thompson, then it could be Kyrou. And if it's not Kyrou, then it could be Kostin. And if not Kostin, it could be Yaskin. And maybe he breaks out. You have all these options to throw another veteran in there, and you're not going to assign a veteran without that veteran having a pretty good idea that he's going to have that spot locked down. It prohibits the Blues' ability to grow. And if you're going to take that next step, and if you're going to be a team that's going to win the Stanley Cup, it's going to come eternally from one of those guys. So,
Nick,
I personally don't see Doug Armstrong making that move. And personally, I don't have a problem with that because of what you have as far as young forward prospects and the opportunity for one of those guys to hit.
Nick Hand from STLSportsPage.com joining us on the Belmont Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at Nick_Hand. And Nick, final question for the night. O.J. Simpson, did he do it?
Well, I will tell you, I'll just tell you the from an attorney's perspective and the legal perspective, criminally no and civilly yes.
Spoken like a true attorney, you are well on your way, sir.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Nick. Have a great weekend. Stay cool.
You too, Matt. Try to stay cool, guys.
That is Nick Hand from STLSportsPage.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Nick_Hand. Let's take a commercial break.